Welcome to Parents' Perspective. Marjorie was wringing her hands. "I just don't know what to do about Ricky," she complained to her friend Margaret. "Ever since his dad and I have been both working the late shift, he's just been hanging out with kids after school and totally ignoring his homework." "Is he having trouble with the work?" Margaret wondered aloud. "Sometimes when kids hit the seventh grade, the work just gets harder."
"Oh, I don't know. Probably he could use a little assist here and there, but when we come home, he's ready for bed. He doesn't feel like talking about anything."
"You know," Margaret began, "Clara's son goes to Boys and Girls Club activities after school. She said they have lots of programs, including an after-school homework club and a mentoring program, too. Maybe something like that would work for Ricky. The Boys and Girls Club sure know how to deal with 13-year-olds.
From a parent's perspective, what should we know about Boys and Girls Clubs? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Our guest has had an illustrious career in both public service and banking. Patricia G. Shannon, now president and CEO of the Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Washington, the largest affiliate of the Boys and Girls Clubs of America, was a senior vice president at Nations Bank, now Bank of America. She has been active in a wide variety of civic and professional organizations, has served on numerous boards, and has earned a number of awards. Currently, Pat serves as director of Adams National Bank, the Howard University Humanics Club Advisory Board, on the board of the Greater Washington Society of Association Executives, and on the board of the Hospital for Sick Children Foundation. She is married and the mother of two. Welcome to Parents' Perspective, Pat.
Thank you for having me.
What makes the Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Washington different from a club a kid might join at school or his community center or religious institution?
Well, I think we would like to think that it's the variety of programs and activities that we offer for our children, plus the fact that our staff is trained to work with kids. So, and it's not just the Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Washington. There are more than 3,000 Boys and Girls Clubs affiliated with Boys and Girls Clubs of America throughout the nation.
I understand that they're also in places other than the continental United States. Is that right?
We have some in Europe and in the Caribbean. And mostly in Europe, they're on military bases. There are a number of clubs in America on military bases and Indian reservations, along with public schools, some churches, and public housing.
So if you really look, you can find one someplace near you.
You can find a Boys and Girls Club in so many, many jurisdictions around the country and around the world.
And what makes them different from the kinds of clubs kids would join connected with a religious organization or something else?
We're not a religious-based organization, but we believe in teaching leadership, teaching values, working with young people on their homework, and we have a considerable focus on prevention. We have programs specially geared toward certain age groups that focus on AIDS awareness and prevention, alcohol and tobacco awareness and prevention, teen pregnancy awareness and prevention, and juvenile delinquency prevention.
So it sounds like it covers a wider spectrum than what we would consider a regular interest group club.
Right. And remember, the whole foundation of a Boys and Girls Club is to have fun. That's number one. We don't want to be there and replicate the school system or try and be the parents or whatever. But first and foremost, it's a positive place for kids. It's a safe place that parents can allow their kids to come to after school, whatever hours in the evening the club is open. And then during the summer months, many of the clubs offer full day day camp and full day club services. But in addition to that, we have athletics, all kinds of organized sports. We have computer rooms, tutoring, field trips, college trips. Now, not everything is the same in every club. Some clubs are smaller, less well-funded. Then you have the huge clubs that we may own that have several gyms. So each club is different depending on the community in which it's located, depending on the physical facility in which it's located, and the resources at its availability.
What
kinds of groups are especially targeted for these clubs?
Well, all of our clubs reach out to youth between the ages of 6 and 18 with a particular emphasis on children at risk, those at risk of failure due to poverty, illiteracy, neighborhoods that are heavily crime-infested, etc. But all children are welcome at the Boys and Girls Clubs.
What about volunteers? How important are they?
Volunteers, 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 volunteers. I can't say it enough. I could use the whole show to talk about the importance of volunteers. They are core essential to what we do. Even if you don't have skills that you think you don't have, if you like children, you're willing to work with children, somebody can find a place for you in a Boys and Girls Clubs. We range anywhere from those that don't have any known specific skills to those that may assist us with gardening, who might want to paint, who want to clean. You might want to do clean and wax the vehicles. You might know how to do computer repairs. You know, might know how to teach computers, arts and crafts, dance, music, theater, musical instruments. There is almost anything that you can think of that a young person would enjoy doing, and you have some skills. It might be in the health arena. It might be a science teacher. It could be to help a child learn how to read. It could be almost anything. So don't sit there and think that you don't have a skill. Go to your nearest Boys and Girls Club that's an affiliate of Boys and Girls Clubs of America and see what you can do. In our particular organization, all of the volunteers that come in direct repeated contact with the children must undergo a local and national FBI clearance and a child abuse registry clearance. Not all of the clubs have those requirements, but if you come to Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Washington, that's what you'll find.
Would you explain a little bit more about the unique package of support services that Boys and Girls Clubs can provide, especially for youngsters who might be considered, as you say, at risk?
Well, I think our focus on the prevention programs, one in particular, our teen pregnancy prevention. We operate a number of clubs in areas where teen pregnancy is very, very high. And we know the social cost of that. We know the social cost to the teenager that's having the child. We know even more pointedly the social cost to the child who's born to a teen parent who is not properly prepared academically, socially, physically, economically to support that child. So we have programs with prior parental approval, and we go through a series of weekly sessions, and it's really, really interesting to listen to the children talk about their understandings and their perceptions of how one gets pregnant, how diseases are transmitted. And then we begin to break down the misinformation, the myths, the information that's transmitted by peers into what are the facts. And then at the end, we use Baby Think It Over, which is a little robot that we program. And both the young girls and the young men have to take these robots home.
I've never heard of this one.
And if they don't hold the baby correctly, it will cry. They don't support the neck. If they don't feed it, if they don't change the diaper. And we've had some incredible responses. We've had parents call and say, come get this baby. It won't stop crying. We've had kids say, I don't ever want to have children. They're too much work. I can't do anything. And then we go into the economics of having a baby, and we correlate that to a report card. So we have all the little components that go with it, the car seat, different things you get for a baby, and we've set up a little baby store. And if you have A's and B's, you can go in and buy, you know, all sorts of goodies for your kids. Of course, if you have failing grades, you're on welfare. So we talk about the economics, the affordability of childbearing, and make kids understand that if they are not responsible for themselves, how can they be responsible for another human being? And we focus very heavily on the male responsibility of fathering these children.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion on Boys and Girls Clubs.
Washington, D.C. with Kids, an excellent book by authors Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis, is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We are talking with Patricia G. Shannon today about Boys and Girls Clubs of America. How are kids enticed to participate in these programs? Obviously, when you get them in the door, it sounds like it's very hard for them to leave because it's so wonderful. How do you get them in the door to begin with?
Well, I think when you look at the locations of our clubs, I can speak for Greater Washington, but also throughout the country, when Boys and Girls Clubs are open, they're open in areas of need, especially when we're looking at children at greatest risk. So we may see an area that has a high preponderance of gang violence, high incidence of poverty, high percentage of free food, free lunch programs, high numbers of teen pregnancy. So we actually put the programs where the need is. And once you open up, it's absolutely essential that you have well-trained staff and staff that want to work with children, that understand how to do programming for kids, whether it's a small public housing site that's been taken offline from a rental unit and converted to a club, to a 50 or 80,000 square foot club that one of the organizations may own. The key to it is the people. It's the staff and the volunteers who care about the children. And it's the quality of the programs that you offer. You can have a brand new facility, the most elaborate, beautiful facility. The kids will come, but they won't stay. So you've got to locate the clubs where the kids are. You've got to have programs and services responsive to the needs of the kids. And then we go a step further. We like to hear from the kids. What is it you want to do in your club?
Would you give us an example of how you might go about eliciting that information?
Absolutely. I can recall about 5 years ago, we went into the inner city of Washington to a high school that had the lowest test scores of any high school in the city. It was an area ridden with crime, high teen pregnancy, all of the negative indices. And we were told it would never work. This is Boys and Girls Clubs is not going to be seen as a hip thing to do for these kids, and these kids are all losers. Well, we refused to believe that. We went to the principal. The principal said, please, I welcome you here, anything to help our children. So then I had the principal set up a meeting with some kids that we could meet with to talk about what a Boys and Girls Club is and to ask them what they wanted. When we went into the room, needless to say, and there were 12 or 13 kids, they really didn't want to see us. They had no interest in a Boys and Girls Club, and they just assumed would have not been there had it not been for the principal. And, it was a little touch and go there for a while. And then, as my staff will tell you, my favorite expression is the Lord looks out for babies and fools. And he told me, ask the kids about themselves. So I went around the room and, he or she. And I went around the room said, okay, now tell me your name, your age, and tell me the very best thing about you. And when I did that, all of a sudden, it was like electricity. The room began to come alive. The kids sat up. They began to take interest because the remarks from each child got more and more positive. And they were things that traditionally, you wouldn't have expected this particular youth to find and say were the best things about himself or herself. And they said, you know, I have a wonderful voice. I'm a good dancer. I'm smart. I'm a good citizen. I'm a good church person. So they begin to see value in themselves, not that we told them, but they said it themselves. And then miraculously, I was able to go back around the room, recall all of their names, everything they said, and at that point, we became one. We became an entity working to develop a club.
They saw that you were really
right,
listening.
Right, and that we were there to hear what they had to say, and we were interested in putting the kinds of things into a club that they would respond to. And I must say that club has been very, very successful. We have a number of kids that graduated. We have a number of kids in college. We had a 0% of teen pregnancies, while the teen pregnancy rate in the school doubled. And then we had a special grant that we were given to work with the school. And we've been in there now 3 years with that special grant. And I think we may have had one child to get pregnant that was involved in our classes outside of the club.
What a record.
Do you have any tips that you could offer for parents to help encourage their kids to get involved?
Well, I think whether you come to a Boys and Girls Club or not, whatever your children are doing, you've got to be involved. You've got to know where they are, who they're with, and what they're doing. You can't leave it up to your neighbor. Just because Johnny is at your neighbor's house. When my kids were growing up, our house was the central place. So I knew where they were, who was there, what they were doing at all times. And if they went to someone else's house to spend the night, I went there first. I had to get to know who those parents were, what kind of people they were, look at the house, get an understanding of what my expectations were if my children were going to come over there. So you can't ever abdicate your parental responsibility. And you can't abdicate it to the school system.
Pat, what kinds of activities are available for the younger children? You mentioned 6 to 18 ages. What about the younger end of that scale?
Elementary school. Mm-hmm. All over the country, you'll find we have a number of clubs located in elementary schools that work with the schools during the day and work with the kids once the school day has ended. Typically, in our organization, we have currently 4 elementary schools and 2 high schools, and we have a computer lab. We do sports programming. We have some tutoring programs where we do pre- and post-testing. We have a variety of preventive initiatives because it's not too early to start in the sixth grade. We'll do field trips. The kids love to go on field trips. Arts and crafts. It might be music. It might be dancing. It just depends. The more volunteers we have, the more facilities and access to facilities and partnerships, because we don't always have to provide the program ourselves, but we form partnerships and collaborations with other organizations so that we can extend things to our children.
What kinds of field trips might be examples?
We worked with the schooner called the Sultana on the Chester River, and I went out on Saturday and spent 5 hours with the kids. Another group went out and stayed on there for 4 or 5 days. But they learn about the environment. They learn about the river. They learn about the early settlers. They throw a net out and bring some of the sediment and some of the living animals that are in the sediment. And then we put them in the separate little things and talk about why does a flounder have his eyes where they are and what are some of the adaptations that occurred so that this fin is here, and why does this fish have a fin, this dorsal fin look like this? So look to your local community again for the Boys and Girls Club that's closest to you and see what kinds of collaborations and programs and services. But also look within yourself and see what you can bring when you take your child to that club.
I think the refrain that you hear from volunteers in any setting is they get more out of it than they ever thought they would get.
That's the truth.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion on Boys and Girls Clubs.
For an audio cassette copy of any Parents Perspective show, send a check or money order for $5 with your name, address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C., 20015.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We're talking with Patricia G. Shannon today about Boys and Girls Clubs.
You've talked about different kinds of things that go on during the school year. What kinds of programs do you offer in the summer?
Well, a number of Boys and Girls Clubs around the country have residential camps that the kids can attend for a week at a time. We happen to operate one ourselves, which is a wonderful camp experience for the kids. Otherwise, the normal camp is a day camp at our clubs. But let me share with you a couple of trips, because it isn't just coming into the clubs. I recently went to Cuba during the Thanksgiving holidays, and I took 14 kids, 10 young men and 4 young women. The 4 women were all interested in the cultural arts, and the 10 young men played basketball with the Cubans, the Puerto Ricans, and the Mexicans. Before we went, they had to do some preparatory work to understand Cuba, the country, the culture, etc. We had an incredible 7 days, and the kids will tell you, it changed their lives. after we played basketball with the kids and we won the silver medal, because Cuba really stacked the team and got us in the end, some of the Cuban kids asked our basketball players for their shoes and their jerseys because they did not have shoes. So we had low-income kids that we took, and one of our kids wore a size 17, and the young man that asked him for the shoes wore an 18. Our kids were overwhelmed, and I said, wait a minute, you can't give your stuff away because your mothers and, your folks are going to be mad at me when I take you back to the airport and you don't have on any shoes. So the kids really began to get a very, very deep, incredible, enhanced appreciation of America.
What kinds of things did the kids decide to do as a result of this trip?
One of our young girls for Christmas said she didn't want any gifts. She already had enough.
Wow. She had enough things.
She had enough things. And wow. We had the kids come back. They all took pictures, and they kept some diaries. And then we asked that they go into the schools and share the information and their experience with the kids and do special projects.
So you turned each of these kids into a little bit of a leader.
Right. It was an incredible experience.
That's wonderful. I think at this point we really need to leave our listeners with resources that they can use to get in touch with Boys and Girls Clubs, to try to start one in their own community, or anything that you think would be helpful.
First of all, I would direct you to www.bgca.org. That's the website for Boys and Girls Clubs of America. And you can find on their website a club in your community, or the closest one to your community. If you don't have one in your community, then you can also contact Boys and Girls Clubs of America or the Boys and Girls Club closest in your community to find out how you could start one. It does take money. These are not free. You need money to pay staff, for insurance, for field trips, for vehicles, for supplies, maybe for snacks, whatever. We need volunteers all over the country. We need people who will serve on the boards of directors and help to raise funds for these programs. And we just need people who care about America's children.
Pat, is there a special success story that you'd like to share with us?
I think I can pick one out of a few hundred. We had a young lady who came to the club looking for a safe place for three of her sisters. And she joined the club, stayed there 4 years. She was often homeless. They slept in a car. Her mother had intermittent bouts of cancer. She had no relationship with her father. She was in a community where it was not popular to be smart. In spite of all of this and much, much more, she was an honor student. She took advanced college courses at one of the local universities here. And as I'm sitting here talking to you now, she is completing her second year at Princeton.
Oh, I'm thrilled.
What a story.
So there are replications of those throughout America with the impact of Boys and Girls Clubs.
Pat Shannon, thanks so much for coming on today and sharing with us all the important things about the Boys and Girls Clubs of America that we need to know so that we all can do our share. Thanks so very much.
Thank you for having me.
Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of our latest book, Washington, D.C. with Kids. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. That's 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address and mention show number 216. Tell us, if you can, what station you're listening to. Since we're airing all over the world, it's always fun to know what station you're tuning into. Washington, D.C. with Kids is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
To learn more about Parents' Perspective and our latest book, Washington, D.C. with Kids, visit our website, www.parentsperspective.org. That's www.parentsperspective.org. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents' Perspective. Today's program was made possible with generous support from the Fay Ratner Humanitarian Philanthropic Fund. Our sound engineer is Damon Fisher. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.